Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series with Shiurim Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We are now studying Masechet Gittin on Daf Chaf Amud Aleph in the middle of a discussion of the canvas, if you will, upon which a get may be written. And we prove the point that against Rav Chista, that nothing of value needs to be given, and that is indeed correct, based on the teaching that we got from Eretz Yisrael, that if you write a get on Isurei Hana'a, it's kasher. And now we're going to see that a little bit further. Gufa shalchu mitam katval Isurei Ktavol Isurei Hana'a kasher. If you wrote a get on something that you're not allowed to get Hana'a from, for instance, a leaf of an orla tree, or of a kilayim, then it's still valid. Amravashi afanana mitanina alhe ale shel zayit. He said, we can prove, not the Isurei Hana'a part, but the fact that it can be worth nothing, that our Mishnah said that you could write a get on a leaf from an olive tree. So the answer is, Dilma Shani Alei Shel Zayit, that doesn't prove it, because an olive branch, an olive leaf as it is, itself may have no value, but Chazit's the Rufi, but you could put it together with a few other olive leaves and you would have something there, as opposed to Isurei Hana'a, which no matter how many you have, you still have no value. Now, Tanya Rebbe Omer, Tavol Isurei Hana'a Kasher. So Rebbe taught the same lesson. Nafak Levi, so Levi, a senior student of Rebbe, went out, Drasha Mishmei de Rebbe, and he said, Rebbe, say it and you write it on Isurei Hana'a, it's valid. Velo Kalsua, the people who heard him weren't enthralled with that teaching. So the Mishmei de Rabbim, instead of saying Rabbi taught it, he said Rabbim taught it, which means that the collegium all agreed, Vikalsua. But the point that Levi went to the effort to try to make his words more appealing meant indeed that is the halacha, and he was trying to use that method of suasion. Now, Tanu Rabbanan, v'chatav, the pasuk says v'chatav, you have to write it v'lo chakak, as opposed to engraving. Now, the name of the chakik alav k'tivah, do you mean to tell me that engraving is not considered k'tivah? We have the following ruling, that eved shi'atza v'chatav shalgavei tavla ufinkas, if an eved has a writ of emancipation that's on some sort of a board, in which it's engraved in, yatzal chayrut, that works. Aval lo bichtav shal gabe kifav anduchti, not on some sort of garment or jewelry, but on a board, it's engraved in, it's fine. So ma'ulam rabbi Elazar lo kasha. He says, no problem. Had chak tochot, if you carve in the body of the letter, which is what we would call embossing, then it's no good. Harachak yirechot, but if you carve in the surrounding area around the letter so that the letter is raised, what we refer to as engraving, then it's valid. V'tochot lo, are you going to tell me that even when you emboss it's no good? Raminu lo hayak tavo shokea. This is referring to the tzitz, the special headpiece worn by the Kohen Gadol, which is engraved on it. As you see in Pasuk number 2, v'echtavu ala mechtav bituchei chotam, kodesh l'ashem. So lo hayak tavo shokea. The lettering did not go in. Ela boleit kedinere zahav. It stuck out like gold coins. Now, v'hadinere zahav tochotein. How are gold coins made? They dig in. The image is embossed. So the answer is kedinere zahav alo kedinere zahav. It's not exactly like dinere zahav. Kedinere zahav de bolet. It was like dinere zahav in that it sticks out. But v'lo kedinere zahav de ilo hatam tochot hachayirechot. What is it that sticks out? In the case of a coin, the middle part sticks out. Here it's the area around it that sticks out that creates the engraving. So Mala Ravina Ravashi, Rushma, Michratz Charitz or Knufe Machnif. He's asking him essentially a jewelry question. Rushma, when you engrave in, are you simply making a depression or are you forcing the letters together? So Amarli Michratz Charitz, he says you're making a depression. So Eitave, and he now brings another the same ruling about the tzitz. Lo hayak tavo shokea, hala boleit kedinere zahav. If you think that that it really just made a depression, habayinu michtav. It says michtav. You have to write boleika. So the answer is kedinere zahav, lo kedinere zahav. It's not exactly like kedinere zahav, but here's a different distinction. Kedinere zahav de boleit, v'lo kedinere zahav. Why the ilohatam migvoi? There, they push the letters from the top, and so they go down, the image. Ilu hata migvoi. V'hacha mivroi. In the case of the tzitz, they push it from the back, so the letters jut out. Okay. Ba'al mine Rav Nachman. So he asked the following question. Katav la get al tas shel zahav. Now that we're talking about a tzitz, try this. What if you wrote a get on a gold piece? You said you could engrave, that's fine. He said, here's your get, and included, because this valuable piece I'm giving you, is also the payoff for the ketubah. Mahu, is that valid? It works. She has both gotten her get and her ketubah. So Eteve, we have a challenge which says as follows. If he gives her a get and says, I'm giving you the get and the remainder of what's there is for your ketubah, the get is valid and anything left over goes towards her ketubah. If it's enough, it's enough. So Tama de Ikashar, that's only because there's something independent of the get that can be used. Halei Kashar, like in our case, where it's the gold piece itself which is the get, then it can't be reckoned as a ketubah. So how can this gold get count as a ketubah? The answer is hu adina fagav delei kashar. The truth is, even if there is no remainder, it works. Hakamash Milan, it's teaching us that fagav de ikashar, even if there is a remainder, yamar la'in ilo lo. He has to stipulate and explicitly say, accept this as your get and your ketubah. If he just gives it to her as a get, then we assume he gave her a very valuable get and has not yet paid off the ketubah. In my time, why? Avira de Megiltahu. Because simply, whatever's left over on the text, unless he stipulates it's ketubah, is still simply a margin, a big margin, a valuable margin, but just a margin. Now, if a fellow gives a get to his wife and says, this is your get, but I'm keeping the parchment, and I'm a Guresha, that's a no-brainer, she's not divorced, because v'natan. But if he says, if he gives it to her on condition that she returns the parchment to him, harezu megureshet, then it's good, like any other matana menat lahachzir, which is a valid matana. Now, boy Rav Papa, Papa asks as follows, bein shita l'shita uvein teva l'teva mai. What if he says, I want the area between the letters or between the lines? Is that valid? So, teku, we leave it as a question. V'tepu klei de sefer echad amar achmana, the Torah says, katav la sefer, v'lo shnayim u'shlosha sfarim, it has to be a single document, and if he owns the space in between the lines, that means her get is a document, and then a missing, and a document, and a missing, which means it's several documents stitched together, as it were. So, lo tzricha de ma'ura, we could be talking about a case where the lines connect in a serpentine fashion, and he's just asking for the blank spaces in the middle to belong to him. So that still is a teku. Now, Bari Rami Rachama, he asked the following question. Are you muchzakim be'eved shu shalo? Let's say there was an eved that we all knew belonged to the husband. V'get katuv al yado. And on his hand was written a get. Written on his hand. V'arehu yotze mitachat yadavit. She brings the eved to the beit din. Mahu. Mi amrina kriyakni la. Do we say that the husband must have given her the eved? In other words, we don't have edim to the fact that he gave her the eved, and therefore gave her the get, but do we say he must have given her the eved, and now she's divorced? Odilma, hu minafshe ayil. The eved must have gone over to her property on his own, because he's a human being, he makes his own decision, he went over that on his own, and that means the husband never handed him over and didn't intend to divorce her. So, Amarava v'tepukle d'chtav she'achol izdayefu. Rava says it's not a get anyways, because after all, anything written on somebody's body can be messed around with and changed and forged. So, Rava Kashmat Nitin, but Rava doesn't just have a problem with the question, he has a problem with our Mishnah. Because our Mishnah gave us an example, writing on the hand of an Eved, and then handing the Eved over as being valid. Says, Oyad Shel Eved. So, Bishnah Nitin, the Rava Lakasha. Rava won't have a problem with the Mishnah, because Be'edim Asiri will say that our Mishnah follows Rabbi Lazarhi. And it's saying we have proper Edim Asira, and therefore we don't really concern ourselves with how valid the writing is, because in Rabbi Elazar's world, all that's important is their Edim to see him pass something over to her, which effectively says you're divorced. Ram Rachama, who asked the question, La Halacha, about this Eved, should have the same problem of the fact that the writing is invalid, at least according to our mayor. So the Ram Rachama Nami Lokasha, he also has no problem. Ketovet Kaka, let's say he tattooed it on the Eved. The truth is, now we don't even have to challenge Rava and his question from our Mishnah about the Eved. That could also be a tattoo. So, my Havela, what's the final ruling about this Eved that showed up in her property? Do we say that he handed it over? So, Toshma, the Rish Lakish, a Godrot, Einlan Chazaka. The halacha is that Godrot, which are animals that are wandering around, don't have a chazakah. In other words, possession does not count for anything when it comes to Godrod because they wander on their own. And therefore, in the same way, this Eved, unless we have Edim that the man handed him over as a get to the wife, we don't have any reason to think that he did so, and the Eved came on his own. Now, Bar Rav Racham, he asked the following question. It's flipped the question. There was a writing board, a tablet that we all knew belonged to her. Forget ketuv aleha, and take a look at it. There's a get on it. Farhi yotza mitachat yado, but now the husband's holding on to it. Mahu. Mi amrina knuya knita le. Do we say that the woman, after she got the get, then give it back to him? Odilma lo yada la knuya. Maybe she doesn't know how to do such things, and maybe he never gave it to her. In effect, she's divorced. So amabaya toshma. In Masachet Eduyot, we have the following statement, that there was a small village near Yerushalayim. Vayabo zaken achad, there was an elder there, vayam malveh l'chol b'nei akfar. He was wealthy, and he would lend money to everybody in the city. And he would write the shtar, and other people would sign. And the chachamim permitted it, even though a shtar halva is supposed to be written by the one who is being makne hashibud. Pasuk in Yirmiyahu, that passage in Yirmiyahu Amud Bet, is one of the foundational section in Tanakh for Shtarot. We'll see another example in the next podcast. It's not a Sefer Mikna because it's being written by the Malveh, not by the Loveh, who is committing himself to paying. It must be because we say that this elder must have been Makne, the Shtar, to the borrower, and then wrote it. And therefore it's valid. So you see that when somebody is holding on to something that we assume was given to them by the other party, that we can say that the assumption is safe. So Ravo my kusha, but that doesn't prove anything. The Dilma Zaken Shani, the Yada La Knuye. Perhaps an elder is different because he knows how to make such a kinyan. Here's another example. You have a shtar halva. So you have the shtar, and then underneath it you have the witnesses, and underneath it you have the signature of an arev, of a cosigner. Now, the lender can collect, if the borrower defaults, the lender can collect, but only from bnei chorin. Right? Because we don't have any edut on the arev. Now, so you see that the Arev is able to makne his own obligation, and that's without Edip. Amravashi, Maikusha, Dilma Gavrashani. Maybe men are different. Men know how to do these things. So we still have the question about when this woman is holding the tablet that we know belonged to her, and now the husband is holding it, do we say that she was makne to him, or do we say she doesn't know how to do such a thing, in which case there was no netinah? Here's the proof. Isha kotevet et gita. A woman can write her own get. Va'ish kotevet shoveron. A man can write his receipt for the ketubah. And then they have Adim sign and switch. Ein kiyum get ela b'chotamav. Because all that we require is the signatures. Which means that we see that our assumption is any adult, man, male or female, knows how to be makne something to another person. And therefore, in this case, we assume that the tablet was something she really gave to the husband. Now, Amar Rava, katav la get unetano biyad avdo. Let's say a man wrote a get, and he gave it to his eved, v'chatav la shtar matana alav. And he also wrote an independent shtar, I'm giving you the eved. Kna'atu umitgareshet bo. So the eved becomes hers, and now she can use the get, because the get is in the hands of her property. V'amai, but wait, why does that work? Chatzer mahalechati. After all, how does an eved holding on to something give it to the master, because he is a chatzer. He's an extension of the person. It's like his yard. But a chatzer mahalechet, a moving chatzer, can't make a kinyan for you. Chatzer mahalechet lo kana. Chitema balmeid, you think the eved is standing still? Any person who, if they're walking, isn't kone, even if they're standing or sitting, isn't kone. So the halacha is, though, that if he's tied down or in some way chained to the place, then he's like a standing chatzer, and then the kinyan works. All right, and that must have been the case here. V'yamarava katav la get untano b'chatzero. Watch this. He wrote a get, put it into his own chatzer, v'katav la shtar maton alav. And then he wrote a shtar maton saying, I'm giving you the chatzer. K'na'atu mitgareshet bo. It works. Now, so utzricha, why do we need both of Rava's statements, both about the slave and about the chatzer? Din yashmin an eved, if he only told us the first case about the eved, havim en dafke eved, I would think it's only an eved where it works, hava chatzer, but in the case of a chatzer, ligzer mishum chatzer abala achar mikan. We should be gozer in such a case that it doesn't work as a precaution against the chatzer that comes to her only afterwards. In other words, a fellow puts the get into a third party's chatzer, and then that third party goes and sells the chatzer to her. That's not good. So perhaps we should make such a gzera. Therefore, Rava says, no, here it works. And if you told me the chatzer case of dafka chatzer, while eved ligzor kafut atu shena kafut, I would think that in the case of an eved, we would never permit it, because even if he's tied down, we should be gozer as against a precaution against the case where he's not tied down. Kamash palan, that it works. Now, Amar Abaye, mechti chatzer mehechit rabbi. Abaye asks a simple question. He says, where do we know chatzer from? Chatzer is miyada. Chatzer is an extension of your hand. So, ma yada di'ita ben midata ben bal korcha, after all, think about it. The woman's yad for gerushin happens whether or not she is agreeable or against her will. You can put a get into her hand against her will, it's still valid. Af chatzera di'ita ben midata ben bal korcha, therefore a chatzer, you're gonna have to say, is a valid kinyan for a get, whether or not she's interested. V'ha matana midata ita, but giving her this chatzer is something that she has to consent to. You can't force a gift on somebody. So therefore, he's arguing that a kinyan chatzer on a get really shouldn't work. So he challenges back. According to that, a woman could never make a shlichut, a shaliach, to accept her get. After all, you can never force somebody to appoint a shaliach. And yet, if she appoints somebody to accept her get, which is only possible if she's interested, if she consents to the shlichut, then it still works. So you see that a vehicle which is subject to her consent can be used to accept a get, even though the get itself can happen without her consent. So clearly the two are distinct. So the Abaye's answer is atu shliach shlichut mi yaday drabi. Is shlichut an extension of yad? Mi v'shilach v'shilchay drabi. That's a sugi in kiddushin. We'll see it also later in Gittin. That from the word v'shilcha, we learn that not only he can make a shliach, but she can make a shliach. So it's a special gzerat ha-katuv. Another answer Abaye could give is that a shliach l'kabbalah also does exist in one realm against her will. Shekein av mekabel get levito k'tana bal korcha. That a father can accept a get on behalf of his minor daughter against her will. So he can be a shteyach l'kabbalah against her will. So therefore it does exist, as opposed to matona that never exists against your will. All right, we'll pause at this point. In the next podcast, pick it up and finish this sugya, and then do the following mishnah also, all the way to chafbet, amud bet. Everyone should have a wonderful day.